Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
Well, this is not good news. If you're a fan of chocolate, we could be going into a COVID-19-like pandemic chocolate
shortage.
Shortage, yes. A viral disease is raging. The trees in West Africa, where most of half of the world's chocolate originates. This is in Ghana and the Ivory Coast. It's called the swollen shoot virus disease.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it spreads thanks to these bugs that feed on the trees. Once infected, the plant exhibits symptoms like swelling of the stems and roots, red veins on immature leaves, and cacao pod shrinking. Experts estimate that this SCCVD caused harvest losses of up to 20% in Ghana, which may not seem like a lot, but they've lost more than 250 million of these trees in recent years.
Swollen root and shrinking pods, never a good thing.
No, no. Take that to Dr. Downer.
Right.
Pods are shrinking. Fighting the virus has been tough, mostly because the bugs have become highly resistant to pesticides. But there is hope, thanks to... Cover your ears, anti-vaxxers. Vaccines.
Oh.
Of course, a lot of trees are protesting. They're putting up... They're marching. The trees are marching to the Ghana...
Well, they are standing at attention.
That's right. They're not happy groups. About it. That's
right. They're camping out in the woods.
If you go to Ghana, you see them on the highway. People are holding up flags as they walk to their capital.
They're vaccinating trees?
Yeah, they're vaccinating trees. I don't know. That's science. The main question you're probably thinking is, okay, so will this really impact the availability of chocolate? And it's hard to say, but the New York Post is sounding the alarm. An expert says this virus is a real threat to the global supply of chocolate. And the Post also says you might want to stock up while you can.
Chocolate is not something that I crave often, but every now and then, you know, when it's lying around, like, over Christmas time, we'd played the game, the steal the gift game, and I think one of the boys in their gifts, or maybe it was Adrian, they scored like a Costco sized bag of chocolate covered almonds.
Nice.
And they've been sitting around the house for months.
Well, they'd be gone by
and
now.
And I just, every now and then when I get into that pantry, I just slip a hand in there. And I ended up down in that bag, probably myself, over the course of 4 months. Thankfully, it's gone. It will not be replaced.
Yeah. Every now and then I'll crave like an O. Henry. I love O. Henry bars. Mm. I'll crave one of those every now and then. And people were talking online about ordering a breakfast sandwich, like a bacon, egg, and cheese.
Okay.
And the question was, what's the best possible bread options? Hundreds of people voted. There was 5 options. You could go English muffin, bagel, croissant, roll, or toast.
Right.
Around 1 in 7 people said none of those because they don't like breakfast sandwiches.
Gotcha.
Of the people
Thanks
who
for taking
like,
the survey.
Yeah. Of the people who do like, yeah, see, that's just so typical of today. Well, then shut up. Don't get involved.
That's right. I don't like breakfast sandwiches, so I'm going to take a survey about breakfast sandwiches to tell people I don't like breakfast sandwiches. That's about as Facebook poll as you get.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm allergic.
Yeah.
What about those of us?
That's right.
Of the people who do like them, the winner by far, English muffin.
Yes, that's the classic, I think.
I would always go with toast. I had, after we golfed at Stonehenge Sunday, we stopped at this little diner on the way home, and I had me a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich on rye.
Okay.
Well, lovely. And normally I'll go like, just with if I'm having a breakfast sandwich, it'll be like a BLT.
All right.
But I went with the bacon, egg, and cheese, and it was excellent.
Every now and then I'll make some scrambled eggs and bacon, and I'll put it in like a pita.
That's a good idea.
It's really good.
That's a good idea.
With a little bit of cheese in there. It's fantastic. The breakfast burrito type thing. I do like that too. Mm-hmm. I like everything in a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
not a big wrap guy.
No?
No, I don't really care for them.
The English muffin to me is the standard, and that sausage McMuffin with egg is not going anywhere in my diet.
It will soon when Dr. Downer gets a hold of you.
He'll try. the croissant, which I've always found a bit too flaky. for the sandwich. It's tasty and all and buttery, but I find it a bit too messy and flaky. And on the vice versa, I find the bagel too crunchy or too dense.
I find it too much bread.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the bread ratio, because eating a bagel is like they say having like five slices of toast.
Right.
It's that much calories in it and all of that. So. Yeah, I mean, I love a bagel with cream cheese, but I never would have a sandwich with a bagel.
I
don't think so.
Yeah, I agree. Anytime I have, I've been disappointed by it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there you go. And, of course, do you like it toasted or not? And for sure, most say, you have to have, if you're having bread.
You got to warm that up.
You got to warm that bad boy up.
Especially if you're having cheese on there.
I could kill a bacon and egg and cheese right now.
Oh, I know. I hate when we have these conversations.
Like five bagels. How was everybody's weekend? I hope it went well. We got out early Sunday morning and went golfing at Stonehenge.
Okay.
Tea time at 8:30 a.m. Oh, and goodness. I can't remember the last time that I played golf first thing in the morning. First of all, Saturdays and Sundays, the mornings are meant for sleep. And but it was booked up all day, so we got out there, and it was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it was humid and hot.
Right.
I went out there with, like, three layers on. I saw other golfers, like, stripping down. They were changing clothes. There's, like, a whole wardrobe change going on up there at Stonehenge. But it certainly made Sunday feel a lot longer. I remember we got home, and we were doing stuff around the house. And at one point, I looked at the clock, and it was 1:30 in the afternoon. And I thought it was, like, 7 o'clock at night. So, anyhow, I was out in the backyard. And, of course, when you open your pool, if you have a pool, you know you've got to do that first big vacuum. Get all the leaves that had fallen to the bottom in the fall when you closed it.
Can your robot suck that up?
No, you're supposed to do that manually because it'll just clog up the robot too fast. So, they had told me you've got different settings on your filter. And one of the settings is waste. And so you roll out your, hose, your backwash hose. And a lot of it is supposed to go through that, but it did not. Most of it ended up jamming up into the, pump. And so funny, when Colonial Pools came and opened it at the beginning of the month, they said, as much as we love you, Craig, we hope we don't see you till the fall. Well, guess what, boys? You're coming to see me soon, because I was on the phone with Michelle at Colonial Pools going, I don't know, the pumping system isn't working. I explained to her what I did, and she said, well, you've probably clogged it up. So
here we go again.
Here we go, another summer spent at the Venn Ranch. Sorry, all Colonial Pool customers. Unavailable because they're with me.
They must sit in their back room and go, this guy's owned a pool for 30 years.
Yeah, still screw it up every time.
Doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, this year was really bad. A lot of times it's not too much of a mess. And I got most of it up. And
you took trees down in your backyard.
Yeah. No, I know. I don't know. Maybe I just, probably should have. There's a couple of different things I could have done that I didn't do. Just out of pure laziness, because I just thought, well, it's on waste. It'll all just shoot out through that, you know, that hose.
But, right.
Obviously, it did not. It clogged it up damn good. So when I went to turn on the pump, the jets were just burping and spurting.
Lovely.
Colonial Pools, the pool whisperers, as I like to call them, will come and fix me all up. How was your weekend?
It was all right. I mean, the weather Saturday wasn't great.
No.
Either. And so yesterday, we had some family in town, did a little bit, didn't get out golfing. Hoping to today, actually, at Stonehenge. Mm. But we'll see how the weather cooperates with that. It doesn't look good right now.
No, at least the extended forecast is showing this coming weekend to be quite nice. Well, sunny and like 19 and 18.
Well, so during the week, I think we're in the mid-20s with some sunshine, like by Wednesday, Thursday. This afternoon's expected to clear up a bit, but then more rain coming back later today. So instead, it was pretty much hockey all weekend long, as it normally is for us. We either watching it, calling it, games with the Generals on Friday and Sunday. They won both, so they look really good right now in the playoffs. And at least
somebody
not so much.
Now, I'm up in the air as to whether we should even talk about him, because it's over. Like, so who cares? You know, this is done. I actually, outside of what I did yesterday between screwing up my pool and golfing, I helped Sheldon Keefe pack.
Bruh.
I was at his place, and I just said, well, why don't we just start getting rid of stuff now?
Right.
I mean, it's over.
I'm very good at telling other people how to do their jobs, or assuming I know how other people do their jobs. But I must say, and we talked about this at the start of the playoffs, so this is the time of year where, you know, guys are playing through injuries and playing on broken legs and with, you know, collarbones and shoulder dislocations that, you know, you don't even hear about until it's all said and done. You know, the Leafs have been put out by a migraine and a stomach flu, which just, you know, and an upset tummy, really, they thought was food poisoning. You just, you know, whether or not it's the most unfortunate timing of all time, or, you know, maybe you're a little soft in how you're approaching all of this. Sheldon Keefe saying the doctors pulled Austin Matthews from the third period. But this is an elimination game. Like, pretty much. These are all do or die now. So now you're faced with the prospect of having to win two games in Boston to stay alive.
Hey, listen, by this weekend, sunny and 18. So right. Hockey will be over in Toronto once again, and we can all get on with our lives. In my heart, it's already Fredo to me anyhow.
Well, and you, I think, like most Leaf fans, went in with trepidation in all of this. And Boston was the better team in the regular season as well, right? So, you know, it was either Boston or Florida. Neither was going to be a great matchup, but the Leafs really haven't brought it yet, whether they're best in this series.
How dare you? You've called me many things, but how dare you insult me by calling me a fan? A happy birthday. Happy 70th birthday to Jerry Seinfeld.
Wow, 70.
He's looking good for his age.
He does, actually.
His last Netflix stand-up special, he talked about being in his 60s.
When you're in your 60s, people ask you to do something, you just say no. No reason, no excuse, no explanation. I can't wait for my 70s. I don't even think I'll answer. I like this time. It's relaxing. I don't want to grow. I don't want to change. I don't want to improve in anything. I don't want to expand my interests, meet anyone, or learn anything I don't already know. Amen. I don't lie in restaurants anymore. How is everything? I don't like it here. A lot of people around my age like to make a bucket list. I made a bucket list, then I turned the B to an F, and I was done with that, too. I just want you to have that option. You can either check off all your items or change one letter at the top. You're in a lazy boy watching a ball game.
Beautiful. He's still got it. He's 70 today. He's got that toaster strudel Pop-Tart movie coming out.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
That'll be soon out. And he recently was talking about comedians struggling with political correctness in their routines. And Jerry says it isn't a problem if you just think about what you're saying. He said political correctness is something of a worry for people that can't think. They make stupid mistakes that are offensive. He says, you want to avoid making stupid mistakes? He says, pick up a paper, read, find out what's going on, and just navigate around it.
Seems a little crotchety.
So he's getting there. He's getting a scent of Larry David on him these days. Snoop Dogg, or what a cop thought was Snoop Dogg, got busted for cheating the carpool lane last week. It wasn't Snoop Dogg. Some guy got pulled over on Wednesday with a dummy in his passenger seat that looked like Snoop Dogg.
Wow.
My question is, where does one purchase a dummy that looks like Snoop Dogg? I want one. I'll just sit with it.
Just put an incense around it so there's smoke coming off it all the time.
Yeah, that'd be great. Lori Loughlin doesn't like talking about the college admissions scandal she was wrapped up in, at least not directly.
I can imagine that.
She does like to express it, though, her thoughts through song. And she picked the 90s classic Tub Thumpin' by Chumbawamba.
Okay.
Aunt Becky did an interview, and when asked about her challenges in recent years, she had this to say. Every day we're met with different obstacles, but for me, like the song says, I get knocked down and I get up again.
Sure.
I think you tripped yourself.
Well, but here's the thing. If she doesn't want to talk about it, why is she giving interviews?
Mm.
It's not like she's doing a whole heck of a lot elsewhere that she needs to be interviewed all the time.
Yeah, I don't know if she's got anything going on.
Well, let's do an interview, but don't ask me this.
Right.
Yep. Like the one reason you're famous in the last few years.
Doesn't that happen with a lot of celebrities, though?
Oh, yeah.
It'd be some scandal. Something went on. Well, can't talk about it. Well, yeah. Then go home.
But they want the spotlight.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. I wish he had just gone into the whole damn song. He drinks a whiskey drink. He drinks a vodka drink. He drinks a lager drink. He drinks a cider drink. He sings the songs that remind him of the good times. He sings the songs that remind him of the better times.
Right.
That's life. Yeah. Chumbawamba is now suing. No, don't quote us anymore. Ryan Gosling showed up at Universal Studios Hollywood's Waterworld stunt show. He was there to promote his new movie, The Fall Guy, which he describes as a love letter to the stunt community. No one in the crowd knew he'd be there, and they had a skit during the pre-show where they kept trying to get him involved in the stunt spectacular.
Oh.
But he said, no, I just came out to say hi.
They should have pulled him in like the pirate ship thing at Wonderland used to do.
Right.
I remember sitting as a kid all afraid. Yeah. Oh, don't pull me in there. I don't want to get wet.
All right. That's right. Was one funny bit, though, where they kept referring to him as the guy from Deadpool. That's good. Actually, I think this Fall Guy movie looks amazing, and I think it's going to be a movie theater flick for me.
Oh, yeah?
I realized, I think the last time I was in the theater, it was a Ryan Gosling movie as well, and we went to see Barbie.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe he's your new Hugh Grant.
He might be my crush. Yeah. Entertainment Weekly put together a list of the 25 movies that are great for when you're feeling nostalgic for your childhood. A lot of them out of the 90s. This is good for millennials. It includes Disney's A Goofy Movie, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, The Lion King. And Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Well, that was from 1988.
Right.
I've seen it in a long time. I thought it was a little dark at the time, but I don't know. I don't remember. Highlights include Air Bud, Space Jam, The Iron Man, and a couple of Corey Feldman classics, The Goonies and Stand By Me.
Gotcha. I would put Ferris Bueller in there as well.
I think, well, yeah, age
if you're going to the 90s.
I was older. No, that was the 80s, right? Was
right.
It Ferris Bueller the 80s?
Well, I mean, if you're going to put the Goonies.
All right. Were they all 80s? I guess they were.
They're all kind of the late 80s.
Probably. Corey Feldman's just being happy to be mentioned anywhere and not just on the side of a milk carton.
That's true. I would put any John Hughes movie into that, too. Nostalgic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. Although, I guess some of the cast of, like, Breakfast Club and stuff, are now like, it's a little, I've watched it with my kids and there's some messages there that aren't great. Like you got to take the weird girl and make her pretty so she can attract a boy. And,
yeah.
You know, Judd Nelson looking up, what's her name, skirt under the table.
Sure.
People were asked about the most intense acting performances of all time. And number one on the list is Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Oh, it was good.
Dark Knight. I would have
really true.
Pee-wee Herman is my pick. Pee-wee's Big Talent Show or whatever.
You know, he didn't break character, but no. Still.
Daniel Day-Lewis as the oil man, Daniel Plainview, and There Will Be Blood.
Okay.
Anything he does is usually intense.
Very good.
Jack Nicholson as Jack Torrance in The Shining. Jack's back.
Mm-hmm.
Robert De Niro is Jake LaMotta in The Raging Bull.
Right.
Charlize Theron is serial killer Eileen Wuornos.
Yes, yeah.
She was great in that. Toni Collette is a grieving mother in Heredity.
Okay.
Why do I keep feeling like I'm saying that word wrong?
Hereditary?
Maybe that's what it is. Hereditary. Yes, I'm saying it wrong.
Okay.
Robert De Niro is Travis Bickle in Taxi Driver.
Yes.
So De Niro on the list twice.
No, Anthony Hopkins, eh? Silence of the Lambs?
No, well, maybe it's further down the list, because it's only the top seven they share with us.
But that was pretty intense, Hannibal Lecter.
I was thinking over the weekend, we talked about how our Mount Rushmore and how Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger, they said for action figures, they would be on the Mount Everest of action figures, along with, they said, Bruce Willis, which I get, and then they said Clint Eastwood, and at the time, I didn't think much about it. I went, all right, those are their picks. But really, Clint Eastwood was never an action hero. He was a tough guy.
Yeah.
He was a tough cop. He
right.
was a, you know, a tough cowboy. He was a tough sheriff.
I agree.
He was an old man on a lawn with a shotgun.
Dirty Harry. Not a lot of running.
No, just pointing
magnums. Tracking down that guy.
That's right. How you feel, lucky punk?
Yeah.
One of the all-time great lines in a movie.
I guess that's just about being a tough guy.
Yeah. Did it fire 5 shots or only 6?
I think Chuck Norris would have been offended by that.
Yes. Chuck didn't need a gun.
Like Chuck was one of the original action heroes for me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Delta Force.
Yeah. Good Guys Wear Black or whatever that was. Delta Force was an excellent movie.
Yeah.
for Wild Fork in Whitby. Teddy Reeder on the line. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Craig. Good morning, Lucky.
Morning, Ted. How are you?
Can't complain.
It's good.
It's a beautiful day. Not.
if you're a bird looking for worms, it's a beautiful day. That's for sure.
Hey, did you see the news? There's that new worm that can grow up to like 3 feet long.
Yes. Yes,
very
that's
invasive.
Yeah, supposedly, and a real concern. They're in Ontario now, and a real concern for anybody who has a small pet, like a small dog.
Why, they eat dogs?
I don't know if they eat dogs, or they can get into them, or they can bite them, or I don't know.
They're called
what.
Hammerhead worms.
Oh, nice.
Yay.
We're not cooking those.
How, I was going to say, how would you
want to know.
How would we, well, you brought it up, Ted. How would we grill a hammerhead worm?
Well, first you got to figure out how to debone the sucker.
Tastes like chicken. Who knew?
Ted, I wanted to ask, I saw a pre-packaged burnt ends, and I wasn't really sure about how the hell that would wind up tasting, or would it be just all kind of fatty? Because that was the impression I got, that burnt ends were a bit fatty coming off the end of something like a brisket. But then I realized, I'm not sure I really know what the hell burnt ends are, and I'm asking the master.
Well, burnt ends come from the brisket, and they are literally the ends of the brisket that are tender and well caramelized, we'll say, and a little bit darker. But there's not many burnt ends that come off of one brisket. Okay, so the product that you're seeing is, and I used to work for a company, and we developed a product like this. It might even be the same product that I had worked on for a number of years. This was pre-pandemic. My God, a pandemic is horrible.
Right.
They take a combination of pretty much a whole brisket, but they use more of the flat because the flat is leaner than the cap or the point. The point has a little bit more marbling and higher fat content. And they basically, they cube it all up, and then they tenderize it and season it and smoke it until it's tender. Put it in a bit of sauce, put it into a vacuum-packed bag, put it in a tray, and call it a day.
So if I were making a brisket myself, Ted, and I wanted to make kind of burnt ends out of it, does it involve kind of taking them or cutting them off, cubing them, and then putting them back into the smoker?
Yeah. Well, no, you would if you wanted to use a whole brisket to do this, because off of a burnt end, the amount of burnt ends you're going to get off of one cooked brisket is going to be enough really to serve one, maybe two people at the most, because it's the ends and just the little pieces that were left. So it's not the best of the brisket, but it's still pretty good. So if you wanted to do it at home, you would probably take the flat and then cube it up, trim it up, and season it, and then put it into your, lay it out on a rack, put it into your smoker, and they're nice and evenly spaced on that rack so that you can get all the smoke around them, and then cook them until they hit that internal temperature of the sweet spot around 200 degrees, 203 degrees.
So are these...
Pull them out and toss them in a little sauce and eat them up.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if they're kind of similar to what I've seen, you know, of course, with my in-laws, but they'll take pancetta, like, and they'll find really fatty versions of pancetta, and they'll fry it up a bit, and then they'll put it in the sauce for pasta and give that fat flavor getting through the sauce. Does that seem
nothing
kind of,
like that?
That's nothing like that. Okay.
Nothing like
then
that.
I'm still confused. Why are we eating burnt anything? What makes
that's
these burnt
the
ends?
That's just the terminology. It's not actually burnt, but they are the outside of that part of the brisket where it comes down to the narrow little pieces.
Okay, so it's not fatty. It's not
crunchy.
Part of the... Okay, all right. It's just crunchy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's essentially it's the trimmings.
Okay.
After you've cooked the brisket, it's the ends.
Like it's not enough meat.
The little fine point of the flat.
Right, yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, because when you've had a brisket the size of a football field, what you need is more brisket.
And a waste.
What's the biggest brisket, Ted, do you think you've ever cooked?
Oh, somewhere in the range of about 16 to 18 pounds.
Wow. I remember that great photo
on
of
average,
you.
We use at the joint, we use 12 to 15 pounds.
Okay. Remember that great photo of you at Young and Dundas when you made the biggest hamburger? That was a thing of beauty.
590 pounds.
Holy cow.
It's just crazy.
590 pounds. We cooked it over the burger. That was burger bun and all the condiments and everything else. But the bun patty itself was, if I can remember this correctly, was about 240 pounds. It was just the patty.
Wow. And where does one find a baker to make the bun that size?
We used San Remo Bakery on Evans on Royal York Road at Evans Avenue there, and Eddie the baker and his family they built me the bun, and so the bun weighed about 121 pounds, I think was the number on it, and it was 40 inches in diameter and 16 inches high. And we used a cross-cut saw to cut it in half, and they baked me two buns in case one broke. And, that was it couldn't be any more than 16 inches high because their oven had a 17-inch door.
Jesus, that's crazy. That photo was amazing. And then what ended up happening with the burger? Did it all get chopped up and served to people?
We chopped it up and we served it to the public there, and we sold it off.
Wow.
A gentleman bought it for $10,000.
Wow.
And donated the money to Camp Bucko.
Oh, that's great. Amazing. That's
then he great. Asked for no pickles.
No, there were pickles on it. 25 pounds of pickles, 25 pounds of lettuce, 25 pounds of tomato, and there was my Crazy Canuck barbecue sauce on there. Wow, and then cheese, lots of cheese.
It was crazy.
That's awesome.
50 pounds, 60 pounds worth of cheese on it.
How many people with spatulas did it take to get it off the grill and onto the bottom bun?
Well, my friends at Napoleon had designed a special grill based on my recommendations of what I looked for to cook it. Because we wanted to break this. The world record at that time was 185 pounds.
Okay.
And I wanted to kind of crush it, so we went for the big push, and we did it. We did it at 590 pounds, and it took 6 hours to cook, and we cooked it over charcoal. And so it was done in a cage. We built it was built into a cage, and we had a ring mold in there to set the burger into, and there was a company that's no longer in business, but they had they made my burger, and it's actually the burger patty is in the CFIA as an improved meat product that was produced in a plant. So that we followed all the rules. So this was it wasn't just something we whipped up in a kitchen. We made it properly, and so that it was food safe as well, so that we could serve it.
Very, very impressive, Ted. And the reason that meat company's out of business is because you took all their meat and made that one burger. All righty. If people want to get a hold of you and talk about grilling, maybe someone's now going to try to top your biggest burger of all time. If they want to talk to you about that, how do they get a hold of you, Ted?
You're going to find me in the social media world at Ted Grills.
20% of all the mammals in the world are different species of bats.
20%?
That's a lot of bats.
Holy cow.
Yeah. The first country to adopt Christianity as an official religion was Armenia in 301 AD.
Okay.
It's all been downhill since then.
That's right. How'd that work out for Armenia?
Yeah. How did it work out for the world? Religion and greed. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, just the way our planet is going, and not to get too deep into the weeds, but I thought to myself, what if religion, top of the list, never happened? What if it never got dreamed up? The problems that wouldn't have happened. Now, who knows? Something else would have come along and caused grief. Because greed in just us as human beings is huge on that list of why we face the problems we face.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, listen, they've all had their share of difficulties. But, you know, you find it interesting now when watching. And again, we're headed into the weeds. I don't want to go there. But when you watch... especially the political situation south of the border,
mm-hmm.
and how how they try to bring religion back into it.
Right.
Right. But, you know, all of them essentially are cults, right? Or cult-like followings.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's groupings of people. And I get it. People are looking for associations with each other to find common ground. In some senses, what keeps us as a population, right? And gives us a sense of humanity. Mm. But it can really go astray.
It certainly can. There was a tradition in ancient Greek theater that characters' death almost never happened on stage. No matter how important the characters were, deaths almost always occurred off stage and were announced by a messenger, with the body sometimes being showing after.
Okay. Yeah. Too hard to fake a death?
I guess. Or maybe it was thought in Greek theater to show somebody dying was too graphic, perhaps. Yeah. There's a city called Rome on every continent besides Antarctica.
Okay.
Of course, the most well-known being in Italy. But
yes.
Yeah. Bohemian Rhapsody started the music video trend. Queen made a promotional video for the song in 1975, and it was such a hit that record companies started making videos for all hit songs.
So really, Bohemian Rhapsody started it?
Got it going, yeah. House music got its name because it started at a club in Chicago called The Warehouse.
Oh.
In 1977.
I always kind of just assumed that that was just music that they put on in between shows kind of thing. So it was the house.
Okay. Yeah, but then it turned into dance music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever go to a rave?
No.
Me neither. And I
never really part of the rave culture.
And me. I never regretted that. The Sony Walkman was originally called the Soundabout.
All right.
Yeah.
Moving with sound, I can get it.
Channing Tatum played a bartender in Ricky Martin's She Bangs video. He was paid $400.
Really?
Yeah. Michael Phelps was rated the second best swimmer in his age group when he was 10. The kid who was number one, Chris Humphreys, who went on to become an NBA player and marry Kim Kardashian for like a minute.
Yeah, played for the Raptors.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Was he a Raptor briefly?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Chris Humphreys had a little spell here.
Huh. The step in words like stepmother or stepchild doesn't come from the fact that you're one step away from being blood related.
Right.
It comes from an old English word spelled S-T-E-O-P. So there's an O in there. Steope, perhaps. Which meant deprived of a relative. So orphans were called steope children.
Oh.
I guess that's how you'd pronounce S-T-E-O-P, steope.
Steope. I don't know.
Yeah. There are only a handful of mammals that are venomous, including shrews, platypus, moles, and vampire bats. There's those bats again.
No kidding.
When Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in an NBA game in 1962, he made 28 free throws. And it was during a period in his career when he's shooting them underhanded, granny style. He made 28 of 32 free throws. It's also tied for the most free throws ever made during a single game in NBA history.
Wow. I wonder what the rest of his teammates were thinking when he scored 100. Like just... You know, was it like the Austin Matthews trying to get to 70? At some point, everyone's just feeding them the ball.
Perhaps.
Or were some guys just sitting there saying, I don't even want to go out there. This is embarrassing.
Feeding him the balls after the game. He then went out and fed a lot of women the balls.
That's true.
Yes. There are only a few countries in the world where the drinking age is as old as 21. The most common legal drinking age around the world is 18.
Okay. It is so weird south of the border that, you know.
Yeah.
All that you're allowed to do at 18 and
go to war,
but 21 to have a drink.
Yeah, you can carry a gun. You can be sent off to defend your country. You can't have a pint.
Right.
Yeah. The editor of the New York Times crossword puzzle is Will Shorts, and he's the only person in the world to have a degree in egmatology. Egmatology, I believe.
Right.
That's the study of puzzles. He created the major himself at Indiana University.
Right.
It's the only word to have, the only person to have a degree in crossword puzzles.
I thought to get a degree in something, someone has to teach it to you. Like, don't you know, have a, so he never had a professor. He just
maybe
designed the curriculum himself.
I guess so. And gave himself an A. I guess.
I'm the expert.
That's right. I'm number one. Who's going to fight me on this? And growing up, Katy Perry wasn't allowed to eat Lucky Charms cereal because luck was linked to the devil.
Oh.
Her family also called deviled eggs angel eggs.
Wow.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.